the believer facing death. He said, and those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now listen. But you see, if there's no resurrection, you know what that means? Every time a saint, every time one of our friends, our loved ones, a church member dies, you just chalk that off. Just count them out. That's the end of that, and just keep moving. But if there is a resurrection, which there is, what is it? It's, what did Paul say? Here's a man who believed in the resurrection. He said, to be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. I've seen some great old saints of God who've lived their lives. You start talking about death, and listen, you walk out of the hospital room, and they've preached you a sermon. They're getting ready to die. And they're happy and joyful and confident and looking forward to what? They've waited 60, 75, 80 years to look in that face. Don't tell them not to be sorrowful. They're not sorrowful. They're happy. Why? That's what they've been living for. Probably most of us have some loved one, some whose body lies somewhere. You don't have any loved ones laying around the grave. I'll tell you that right now. Every once in a while, somebody wants to go back to the grave and weep and cry over the grave. Listen, a Christian funeral isn't a time just to be sentimental. It is a time to praise the living God. You know why? Because God has finished his work in the life of a believer and he's called them home. Not a time to be just sorrowful, though there is sorrow at loss. But listen, here's the wonder of it. It is a temporary loss. In the last thing he says in verse 19, if we've hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. That is, listen, if there's no resurrection, what? There is no joy. Let me ask you a question. Is your joy wrapped up in this life? Then if it is, you're a perfect picture roller coaster. Just like this. Joyous today, not so good tomorrow. And you see, that's not the way God intended for us to live. We've been free to listen. Joyous, happy, peaceful. Why? Because we have the resurrected Christ within us. And what is our joy? Our joy isn't in things. If it is, you can lose your joy. Listen, but if your joy is in Jesus, let me ask you, can you lose it? No way. If your joy is in any other thing in existence, you could lose it. But if your joy is in Jesus, you've got it forever. You say, well, I've got Jesus, but sometimes I'm not very happy. I didn't think about happiness. I said joy. Joy is far surpassing in quality to what the world talks about when it talks about happiness. Joy is that inner sense of being right with him that overflows when it's cloudy, overflows when it's rainy, overflows when it's snowing, overflows when the sun's shining, overflows when everything is right, overflows when the bottom drops out. Why? Because my joy is Jesus Christ overflowing within me. And it makes no difference what happens externally. Because you see, Jesus, as you said, the woman at the well, if you would ask me, I'd give you a drink. And out of your belly would flow rivers of living water, eternal joy. Let me ask you a question. What would life be like? No Christ, no Bible, no faith, no hope, no freedom. And what's the other one? No joy. Friend, wouldn't you agree? That ain't living. So when somebody says, well, what difference does it make whether I believe in the resurrection or not? There it is. You say, well, I know people who have hope. Let me ask you a question. What are they hoping in? And what are they hoping for? And is that hope an eternal hope? Listen, the only legitimate basis for having an eternal hope is that you have by faith received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, his sacrificial substitutionary atoning death on the cross as payment for your sin, and that you believe that he rose from the dead. That is the only hope, the only basis of your eternal hope. And my friend, if you've never trusted him as your Savior, whatever your reason may be, the truth is you don't have anything tonight. Because the Bible says when I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, he becomes my life.
Thanks for listening to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. We hope today's program has helped you better understand the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's fundamentally crucial, both now and for eternity. To learn more about Christ and what makes him distinctly unique, visit intouch.org. And to listen again, look for the link to Today on Radio. If you'd like to order a copy of Dr. Stanley's complete message, The Consequences of Denying the Resurrection, connect to our online bookstore. It's also included in his teaching set on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, titled Risen. Again, that's intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. If you prefer to write, our address is In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia, 30357. Will some of the things we enjoy on earth right now bring us joy in heaven? An encouraging reminder is coming up in today's Moment with Charles Stanley.
Do you take sermon notes on the back of your bulletin? Jot scripture references on the offering envelope? Start keeping things in one place, one organized place, with the In Touch Note Takers Journal. This leather, soft journal contains 150 pages for taking notes and includes Dr. Stanley's 30 life principles. Find everything in one convenient place with the In Touch Note Takers Journal. Call toll-free 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org.
Sometimes it feels as if all is lost. Life seems broken, beyond repair. But during those moments, we can have faith that God will heal and redeem our brokenness. In Dr. Stanley's book, Finding God's Blessings in Brokenness, you'll find encouragement to help you stay strong in your faith despite the obstacles. To order, call 1-800-INTOUCH or visit intouch.org/store.
You're listening to In Touch. When we get to heaven, will we miss the things we enjoyed on earth? With Insight for Believers, here's A Moment with Charles Stanley.
I believe that when you and I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we begin to fellowship with Him for eternity, all the appetites and desires and God-given legitimate desires that God has given us down here to satisfy legitimately, that all of that is going to be wrapped up and satisfied in an intimate relationship with the person of Jesus Christ that will make every single appetite and every pleasure on earth dwindle out into nothingness compared to an intimate relationship with Him. So people who worry about, oh, what about marriage and what about this and what about that, friend, listen. If you get there, and if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be there. Don't worry about what's up there while you're down here. You just major on being what God wants you to be, and I'll guarantee you one thing. There will be no disappointments in heaven. Amen? Nowhere in the world for you to be disappointed if you know Jesus Christ. How many of you have ever been disappointed by Jesus? Oh, somebody stuck up their hand and pulled it back down right quick. You better believe there's no disappointment in Him. So if you're concerned about that, you can forget that. We don't understand all the details of what heaven's going to be like, but one thing for sure, it's going to be masterfully designed to meet every single need that a heavenly body in perfect relationship with Jesus Christ could ever desire.
Jesus is your Savior. If you've trusted in Him for your sin to be forgiven, learn more at intouch.org. And if today's program has given you guidance for your spiritual journey, please let us know. Next week on In Touch, we'll look at the blessings of trusting that Jesus is alive in Dr. Stanley's message, The Consequences of Believing the Resurrection. Our series on 1 Corinthians 15 continues Monday on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center on Johnstone Street. last week, Kamala Harris became the first U.S. vice president in history to make a public visit to an abortion clinic. Though the Democratic Party's support for abortion is nothing new, Harris's Planned Parenthood appearance does illustrate just how that support has now become a flagrant celebration of abortion as a public and personal good, one essential to both so-called freedom and so-called health care. In fact, at the appearance, Harris proclaimed this, quote, "It's only right and fair that people have access to the health care they need. Extremists have proposed and passed laws that have denied women access to reproductive health care," end quote. Well, contrary to this claim, killing preborn children, whether through chemical or surgical abortion, cannot and should not, at least not according to any sane reckoning, be considered health care. Not for the child, not for the mother. As many have noted, when a woman gets pregnant, it's not because something's gone wrong with her body. In fact, abortion is not even safe for women. The chances of complications are high and can even be life-threatening, and women are 4 times more likely to experience complication from chemical abortion than surgical abortion. And of course, for the child, abortion ends a life that is developing. In the case of chemical abortion, it's because the child starved of nutrients. In the case of surgical abortion, the child's life is ended and the body is dismembered. Neither of those things are health care, at least not in any world that's morally sane. But of course, the situation we have is that we don't live in a world that is morally sane. By calling those who hope to limit abortion extremist, Harris has maligned and mischaracterized thousands of everyday Americans. For years, most Americans have supported some legal limits on abortion. As of 2024, 66% of Americans wanted to see abortion legally restricted in some way, and nearly 6 in 10 support limiting abortion just to the first trimester. It is the Democratic Party that long ago became the extremist on this issue. In the past, pro-abortion candidates may have held abortion at arm's length, but that's no more. Last year, President Biden said, quote, "I'm a practicing Catholic, I'm not big on abortion." And then this year, he announced that returning Roe v. Wade, which made America an outlier on abortion permissiveness, is his top priority. Vice President Harris's appearance at Planned Parenthood signaled just how serious this administration is with this commitment. Politico noted that the Biden-Harris agenda is, and I quote, "the strongest abortion rights platform of any general election candidate," end quote. And we could add the word ever to that sentence. For the White House incumbents, abortion's not a necessary evil. It is fundamental freedom. In fact, Biden put it as clearly as he possibly could in his State of the Union address when he chided lawmakers who oppose abortion. Here's what he said, quote, "Many of you in this chamber and my predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom will you take away next?" End quote. Is he big on abortion or not? Ultimately, President Biden's remarks and Vice President Harris's itinerary reveal priorities that may have once been implicit but are now fully explicit. For now, this administration and pro-abortion advocates are hell-bent on quote-unquote making history by enshrining the so-called right to take innocent preborn lives. What that means, at the very least, is that we too have to be heaven-bent, that whether a political positive or negative for our side, we defend the right of every life to live. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Jared Hayden. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to breakpoint.org.
New Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines alerts listeners that 22 veterans take their lives every day. Together, we can win this war against veteran suicide. Join the effort to encourage our veterans by reminding them there is hope. If you are a veteran in crisis or you know a veteran battling an enemy within, please call for help or emergency services. That message of support is from New Beginnings Funeral Home in Pembroke Pines, where they are reminding our brave veterans, you are not alone.